year was 1986. The place, Terre Haute, Indiana. That's where a couple college kids started flipping houses long before the HDTV rage. What began as a crazy plan to pay for school eventually became a lifelong enterprise that would include tens of thousands of multifamily units across 11 states. Paul Thrift and John Thompson would go on to create Thompson Thrift Development, parent company of Watermark Residential, a luxury apartment brand. The pair also run leased single-family properties, manage a construction company, and operate in the retail space. Six decades and tens of thousands of apartment units later, the group continues to create housing across America's heartland. Earlier this year, the development team's latest round of funding hit $105 million and targets an expansion of the group's multifamily projects. Under the expert leadership of CEO Paul Thrift, the companies continue to expand their footprint in Class A apartments, but also in institutional and industrial and commercial space. At present, Thompson Thrift operates in 19 states and growing. It might seem there are significant headwinds in the economy slowing some operations down, but this one company, certainly one individual who sees opportunity. I'm looking forward to finding out what Paul Thrift sees ahead. Paul Thrift, CEO and President of Watermark Residential, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Linda, and I'm pleased to be here. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Maybe you could give us a little bit of background on how the company started back in the 80s.
Well, at that time, it really wasn't a company. It was two enterprising young guys, my partner, John Thompson, and myself. And we were really entrepreneurial. We were looking for a way to pay our way through school, for a way to make a mark. That summer before we started our freshman year, that was 1986. Every bank in town had a list of repossessed houses as long as your arm. I had $3,300 saved to go to school, which at that time was ample to pay for a year. I remember we bought our first house for $3,000, probably spent $1,500 and several weeks fixing it up. We sold it, and we commenced to doing that over and over again. And really, our business and our enterprise grew out of those times. And it grew from that to building some purpose-built student housing several years later, which there was none off the campus of Indiana State University where we were attending. And so little by little, we grew our business from those meager beginnings. And really, we've always just had an eye to meeting demand that we saw in the marketplace. And so that's what we did then, and that's what we continue to do today.
Thompson Thrift's growth spans a variety of commercial property types, and still multifamily housing has become a core business. What's the draw?
Well, fundamentally, there's good supply and demand fundamentals in the market now, in the housing industry in general, and particularly in the Class A luxury multifamily space. We've simply been undersupplying our country with housing units in this last decade. And so if you look back at the last four decades, the average housing unit delivery has been about 14 million per decade. And this decade, we will deliver a little under 10 million housing units from 2010 to 2020. So we're over 4 million behind what the average deliveries have been. You couple the undersupply of housing units with lifestyle choices and demographic trends, and you see that people are getting married later, they're having kids later, they're coming out of school and entering their professional careers with more debt than ever before. Student housing debt is up three times in the last 20 years to almost $40,000 on average per student. Consumer debt is up, lifestyle choices leading us to more experiential lifestyles are leading more people to renting than purchasing homes. And so the supply and demand fundamentals for multifamily are good. And that's something that we noted and have been working diligently to try to meet that demand.
When we see someone making hay in the rain, it resets groupthink on what's possible. It may even inspire others. How are you navigating the many unknowns of today's market? Pandemic, interest rates, legislative, and the list goes on, at a time when many are in a holding pattern.
Well, certainly times are strange and different, and we're in very challenging times. And I think many times I look and credit Providence for where we find ourselves. And so we have been in a good position this year in the areas that we develop, which are many of the growth markets in the southern part of the country, which actually have experienced an influx of people and in migration during this period this year. And so that's benefited us, as well as our suburban model. And so since the inception of Watermark in 2008, we have been committed and targeting our developments in suburban markets and suburban growth markets and a lot of secondary markets in the country. And those markets being less dense, less urbanized, more space, have actually benefited this year as well. So we've been the benefactors of good fortune and Providence, and been very fortunate to have been in markets that have not been impacted like some of the more dense markets or urbanized markets that have experienced greater headwinds for sure.
That's fantastic, Paul. What a great outlook in times of uncertainty. Paul, servant leadership is a big part of the company's promise. What does this mean, and how does it come into play in the company's operation?
Well, it's certainly fundamental to everything that we believe in and everything that we try to put into practice every day. Our mission statement as an organization is to positively impact our team members and the communities in which we serve. And our three core values are excellence, service, and leadership. And so those aren't just words that we put on our website or on a poster in the break room. We really try to live those out, challenge our folks to challenge us if we're not living those out every day. And so when I look at our core values of leadership, we define leadership as leaning in and taking ownership, doing the right thing. It's character in action. And so I believe that if we're exhibiting leadership in a company of leaders, that we will be successful in serving our clients and our customers. And then service to us is not only serving our customers, which is intuitive for business, but it's also serving each other, serving our vendors, and serving our teammates so that we're in best position to deliver the greatest value and service to our customers and our clients and our residents in this instance. At our core is a verse from Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, from him much is required. And so really we're trying to live that out through our mission statement and through our values and to serve each other. So we're in the best position to serve our clients and have a positive impact on them and the communities in which we serve.
I don't think we realize how closely related that is to good commerce.
Well, I totally agree. I think if we're focused on doing the right thing and treating our teammates well and serving each other's interests and treating them like, you know, it's simple. It's really doing the things you were taught as a child, right? And your mom taught you, treat each other with respect, be honest, have integrity. And at the heart of free trade and capitalism is providing value to your customer, and they'll keep coming back. So all of those things build and are iterative to building a successful program. At the core of capitalism is self-interest that ends up resulting in being rewarded for the service of other interests. And if we will act in our self-interest in a way that we put others first, we'll be successful in business, we'll be successful in our personal lives, with our families, at our educational experiences, in our commerce experiences, in our faith experience. And so it's no secret, when Christ said to lead, you must first serve, right? And so we must first put the interest of others ahead, and then we'll end up benefiting from that.
That's fantastic, Paul. And well said. So Watermark Residential, Class 8 apartments, and a known brand. There's also a company, Luxury Leased Homes, which includes townhomes and single-family rentals. At one point, single-family was thought to be too operationally fragmented to be lucrative. What made you opt into this space, and what do you see as the prospects for such non-traditional rental housing in the years ahead?
So what led us to this space is the same thing that led us to purchase our first home in 1986 and renovate it, and what led us into commercial development and led us into multifamily to start with was trying to meet what we saw was a demand in the marketplace. I'm a big believer that you can't force a business model on the market. You have to go meet the market where it is. And so what we see is the market today longing for something different. We see people choosing to rent rather than to own for many reasons. We see people needing to rent rather than to own. And so they want and need that rental experience, but they really want a single family attributes. They want a little more space. They want some privacy. They don't want the noise. And this is a trend, and it's an emerging trend, but yet it's certainly been proven in the marketplace that people want those single family attributes. And so in seeing that, we have worked to position ourselves within Watermark. We have a product that we're calling Luxury Lease Home Product. We have two prototypes or two products within that. One is a villa or a flat. It's a single level product, and one is a townhome product. And so these act and feel much like a single family home. They have private backyards or patios. They're not large, but they're private to that individual unit. You don't have anybody above you or below you to fret with noise. You don't have to get on an elevator. You have generally a garage that's attached to your unit. And so it has many of the attributes of a single family, but allows people to rent with no maintenance and allows them freedom to come and go, get in and out of a lease in 1 or 2 years. We have chosen to build communities of this product, not to scatter single family throughout various communities. And that gives us the efficiency of managing it in one community, and also providing amenities and a clubhouse and a pool, fitness, and other things like you would in a higher density community, but gives people that the attributes that they're looking for in that single family feel.
That helps round out your offering, certainly. And Thompson Thrift is expanding. That little Terre Haute company has grown, Paul, now into 19 states and still moving out. What kind of deals are you looking for, and what fundamentals make a market attractive?
We review a lot of different MSAs, nearing 200 each year, that we look for certain attributes, and we're scoring those MSAs or metropolitan statistical areas each year, really fundamentally starting with job growth, deliveries of multifamily, deliveries of single family, absorption, rent growth, occupancies, and on down a list. So we're evaluating those markets. That works to inform us how markets are behaving, alert us to markets that have trends that we think would drive good demand metrics. And then we look at supply and how that supply has been absorbed. Once we identify MSAs and we're looking for trade areas with the right attributes, certain, you know, submarkets within those MSAs. One thing about our business model is we have focused on suburban areas, first and second ring suburbs in growth markets. But we've also spent a lot of our time in secondary and tertiary markets across the country where we see good fundamentals, but yet not a lot of attention from a lot of the institutional we capitalized developers and a lot of the institutional money. And we've done really well in bringing an institutional grade product to a lot of the secondary markets in the country and delivering a product that really doesn't exist there. And if it does exist, it's undersupplied. And so we've had great success with that. You have good fundamentals, good job formation, good solid, stable economy. But a lot of times, you know, if you're not in Austin or Nashville or Denver, you're getting overlooked. And so we've had a lot of good success in and underserved markets, kind of what we call forgotten markets.
Sadly, that's a wrap for today. Paul, thank you for joining us and showing us opportunity when the chips seem down. Excellent show. Need a shot in the arm? Need to know what's right in the world? Talk to a developer, I say. That's where there's always a will and there's always a way. Paul Thrift of Terre Haute, Indiana is just one more example of American greatness and ingenuity. No matter the hill to climb, he will find the way and the means. It's bright minds as Paul that keeps America's greatness shining. Paul, thank you for taking the time to join us. You inspire a nation of builders and developers and house the hardworking Americans who keep the wheels turning. I'm Linda Hoffman. See you on our next exciting episode of NAHB Power Hitters.